Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. Appreciate Jeff praying for those that are not doing well today with health stuff. And my wife was sick this week. Ellie's kids got sick. And then we took Thea so that Ellie could kind of focus on the two boys that are sick. And then took Thea back. And then Ellie got sick. So then Kim's like, I better stay and help Ellie. Then Kim got sick. So she was at Ellie's house for, I don't know, 2 or 3 days. I was all by myself. Thanks. Appreciate that. And then I got a cold again, or still, or whatever. Some of you guys know. I'm talking about that cough. It's just kind of a dry cough. And you can't seem to... Anyway, so appreciate Jeff praying for people. I took that he was praying for me as well. You pray for me as well, because I'm going to try to get through this message. I got through the 9 o'clock, but anyways, well, we're in a series called Unforgettable, and the idea here again is each of the campuses are doing different verses, and so what I decided to do was a couple things. One, not only give you some verses to memorize, which is always a good thing to do, and have something there and your tool belt, as my wife would call it, a tool belt for life. And so if something comes up and you have a challenge you face and you got God's word right there in your mind and you can do what he tells you to do. But the other thing is, I get it that life's hard. You know, I think we'd all agree life is not easy. Like if you're thinking that at some point you crest the hill of hardness in life and then you're just going to kind of coast along, I hate to break the news to you, that ain't going to happen. All right, you get to the top, there's going to be a valley at some point. Life is full of ups and downs. It's hard. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, life is hard. And so then the question becomes, are we going to do this life the way God says to do it, or are we going to do it the way we want to do it? Are we going to do it so we can know who God is and have greater dependence on him, or are we just going to try to fly by the seat of our pants and try to figure it out on our own? So as a pastor, I'm getting to this point of why we're doing the verses that we're doing. One of my biggest desires, one of my heart's desires, I guess we could say using Psalm 37, is that you guys would have what you need to do life the way God wants you to do it, so you can experience who God is. Again, I'm not saying we ever do this perfectly. You know, I know these verses, I've wrestled these verses, I've prayed these verses, but God always puts stuff in our lives in order for us to remind ourselves that he's the one who's in charge, and for us to know him better. And so someone said something after the first week, like, wow, Harley, I don't know, I've heard you preach a lot, but that you really felt like you owned that one. And I'm like, well, I owned it because I live it, I get it. So that's what I'm trying to do with these verses. And again, we're not taking big steps forward each week. We're taking small steps. We're building upon what we learned the first week. So the first week, I asked you to think about, what's that thing that kind of hangs over your head, that desire of your heart, the thing that if God would just fix this thing, then life would be good. And again, that could be anything. It could be a spouse. You're kind of hoping your spouse would be different than what they are, or that your kids would be different than who they are, or that your parents would be different, that they would kind of get their act together in their life. It could be something to do with physical health. It could be something to do with mental health. It could be, a job situation, needing a job, wanting a different job, not sure if you have enough finances. There's always something on our hearts and our minds, something that's always weighing on us. And so we looked at Psalm 37, 1 through 6, and specifically Psalm 37, 4, where, again, King David is writing this, but God's inspiring him to write this. This comes from God. It says, delight yourself in, or take pleasure in, or consume yourself with the Lord. Again, that's the infinitely powerful, self-existing, personal God. That's what Lord, in all caps, is referring to. And he, not you, not me, not another person or experience, but God will give you the desires, your wants, requests of your heart. And so as we went through that, again, we went 1 through 6 to kind of get the context of that. And what God's saying there is, if you delight yourself, if you consume yourself with God, you make God the number one focus for your life, and you want to get to know Him, you want to find out more about Him, you spend time knowing Him, then your heart changes. What it is that you want for your spouse, what it is that you want for your kids, what it is you want for your parents' health, you know, mental health, all the stuff that we've talked about, that begins to change. You begin to see it the way God sees it. And then when we are in line with how He sees it, He can give us the desires of our heart. But our heart has to align with His in order to have that prayer answered. So being consumed with Him, not just a five-minute time in a word, not that that's a bad thing, maybe get your morning started with that, but there's got to be time where you are spending time thinking through, talking with Him, reading the Bible, taking what God's Word says into your situation and applying it and looking at it and wrestling with it. It takes time, like any relationship takes time, and it takes going through difficult times. You know, one of the reasons why Kim and my relationship is as great as it is because we've gone through difficult times together. We've committed to work through it together and not just blow each other off. And then we went this little small step again last week, and we looked at Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, and specifically 5 and 6 people know, but 7 and 8 I was encouraging you to memorize. So don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. In other words, respect God as your authority and turn away from evil. And again, that word evil, we don't like that. It seems really mean and harsh, but it just means bad, wrong. And so when we are thinking wrongly, when we're thinking the way we think and not the way God wants us, that's evil. And so we're not to do that. And if we fear the Lord and we turn away from evil, start thinking the way He wants us to think, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. That God works in us, in our hearts and our minds, and then that can actually bring about changes in us physically in our lives. And so this idea that we never get to a point with God where we say, I got this. And we never get to a point spiritually where we come up against something like, okay, God, yeah, don't worry, I got this. You have other people to deal with and help. I got this. We never get there. Because it's always about knowing who God is through the circumstances that we're facing, doing it the way He wants us to do it so we can learn about Him, know Him personally, watch Him work in our lives. And I said this last week, that spiritual maturity is greater dependence on God. And that's what it is. That's what spiritual is. So if you're growing spiritually, what you'll notice in your life is that you're going to God more and more and more and more. Some people think, well, I keep going to God and I keep on bringing to God. I do the same thing. I mean, Lord, I've been praying about Sunday service every day this week. You know, maybe I should just stop. No, He wants that. Just keep on praying about Sunday services. Keep on praying about your spouse. Keep on praying for your kids, your parents, you know, all this stuff. Just keep bringing it to Him because spiritual maturity is greater and greater dependence on Him. Last week, I also stated that God's called us to a radically different life. If you've placed your faith in Christ, then what happened at that moment of salvation from sin and eternity in hell, God adopted you into His family. You became a child of God. God's Holy Spirit is indwelling you, lives in you. He's the one who keeps you connected, obviously, to God, because He is, in fact, God. And so you've been placed into His family. He's adopted you into His family, adopted me into His family. And so now what He wants us to do is He wants us to move from who we were before we made that decision to who He wants us to become after that, and that is to become more like Jesus Christ. And so that's a difficult transition. For me, it's a big struggle. Again, I don't know how you guys do this, but when I think about stuff, I think about stuff all the time. I am just like, my mind never shuts off. And oftentimes I'll be thinking about something. I'll be having a conversation with somebody in my mind or whatever. But the way I think seems right. Like it seems logical. It seems to make sense. It seems like, no, that's what I should be doing. That's what I should be saying. Or that's how I should be acting. Like, for instance, I mean, it's a simple one, B, is I know better than everybody on the road how to drive. And if they would just pull over to the side and let me talk to them, I could share with them my wisdom, because I know. But it's not just that. It's other things in life, more important things than that. We just think we know better. We got this, God. We can handle it. But then I get into God's Word, and He starts showing me by reading the Bible that, no, how I'm thinking is actually wrong. And how I want to respond is actually the wrong way to respond. And how I did respond was the wrong way to respond. And so then there's the battle, right? And we all have this. By the way, this is lifelong. This never goes away. Because there's always more that needs to be changed in us. There's always an attitude or a thought or a response that needs to be changed, because we know how to be who we were before Jesus. And to make us more like Jesus, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So don't be discouraged by that. Just understand that's the process. And at some point in the future, the process will be over and you'll be perfect in heaven, but you're not going to be perfect here on earth. I won't be perfect here on earth. But there's a battle. Who's going to have the authority in my life? Is it going to be God, or is it going to be me? I mean, if I do it God's way, can I really trust Him? Is the way He says to do it really the best way? Is that really going to accomplish and meet whatever need I might have? To Matthew 6, Jesus talks about this radically different life, and He talks about this idea of having our needs met. And so we're taking a mini step forward from last week. We want to look at what Jesus has to say. It comes out of Matthew 6:33. Again, for some of you, if you've been here any length of time, this is very familiar to you. It says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness," talking about God. So seek first God's kingdom, God's righteousness, and all these things, which is referring to needs, which we'll find out, will be added to you. So before we break down that verse, I want to give you the context. We're going to go back to verse 25. I'm going to read through that all the way back through 34. To give us kind of the context. So this is Jesus speaking. So in other words, this is God speaking. And He says, for this reason, well, what reason? Well, the previous verses, He was basically saying, you can't live for what this world says is important. All right? You can't do that. You got to make a choice between doing it, living for what the world says is important, or living the way God says is important. And so obviously Jesus wants us to do the way God wants us to do it. And says, so for this reason, because you can't have both. You got to have one or the other. And He's saying you should do the other. In other words, follow God. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried, which means to be anxious or torn between these two things, about your earthly life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Again, all these things money buys. Because you just got done before, you can't serve God and money. You got to choose between the two. Can't live for what the world wants and live for what God wants. You got to choose between the two. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? And so, how would you, don't answer out loud, but how would you answer that? Is life really all about food? About clothing, which really means, is your life and my life really all about the money that we can make? Because it's the money that buys food. It's what buys clothing. Is that what we're pursuing? Is that what life's about? Is that what we fear? I don't. If I lose my job, I don't have any income. What do I do with that? Or I have bills. And I have a job, but maybe my job isn't paying the bills, and so maybe I need to do something different job-wise. And what do I do? Do I do that or not? Because I got these bills, I've got things. And so we get worked up. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And the answer is yes. We are worth far more than the birds. We're created in God's image. I said this at the 9 o'clock service, half the people left, but you are far more important to God than your pet. Or my pet, because I have one too. They're animals. We're created in God's image. So he cares about us far more than he does animals. And so, if he's going to make sure birds have something to eat, he's going to make sure that we have what we need, right? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? None of us can. I have had some days where I've had some things on my mind. I've been worried about some things. I've been praying about some things and asking God to work in some things and going to the Bible and finding out what he wants me to do about some things. And I did that for about, 18 hours of 24 hours. But you know what? At the end of the day, how many hours I had in that day? 24 hours. So you're not going to add anything by worrying to things. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even King Solomon, all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Yes. He's obviously going to make sure. You of little faith, in other words, you who struggle to entrust yourselves into the hands of the God who's going to provide for you. And that's all of us at one point or another. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing, or again, any other need for that matter. For the Gentiles, and there he's referring to those who don't follow God, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. That's for their priority. That's what they're shooting for in life. That's what's on their mind 24/7. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But, because God knows we have needs, the priority of the follower of God is to seek first, is to single-minded focus on his kingdom, on his rule, on his authority, control, power in our lives. And to seek first or have single-minded focus on his righteousness, to live life God's way. And all these things, all of our needs, will be added to you. In other words, more will be given to you. So you'll have your needs met plus other needs you might have. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So here we've been talking about the last couple weeks. He's taken a little bit of a different spin on this. So we're in the Old Testament. Now Jesus is talking to us. It's kind of the same idea, slightly different spin. He gives us a little bit of a slightly different promise here. And what he's saying is if day in, day out, with every decision, no matter what we think or how we feel, we have a single focus on God being the authority in our life and basing all of our decisions and responses on what he says in the Bible, that all of our needs, both the basic and the more complex needs, will be met. We can go home now. And that's the whole point. Now, I gotta get bills paid myself, and so I get paid by the word, as we know. So I'm going to go work through this a little bit with you. So this idea of seek first is a present imperative. So present gives us the day in, the day out, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how hard we think it is or easy we think it is, no matter if we think it's a good idea from God or a bad idea from God, that we do this. It's a command. That's what the imperative is. One second. So the imperative means it's a command. And so it's not a suggestion from Jesus. It's not a, hey, here's a list of possible responses, and you'll notice one of them is what I said to do, but you have some options. This is the radically different life. There's not any other options. It's to do what he calls us to do, to seek first, to make him our single focused. It's not based on what I think. It's not based on my understanding. We learned about that last week. Living this way makes life less complicated. It makes it less confusing. Because if we have a circumstance or situation that we need to deal with, we go to the Bible, we work through whatever it is that God's told us to do, and go, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. I don't have to be confused. I don't have to be wringing my hands. I only get confused when I start saying, no, 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 God, I know better than you do. That's when it gets confusing. But if I force myself to say, no, I'm going to have a single focus on what God says, and so then I know that. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm saying it's not complicated, which is half the problem. Then the other problem is that it's still hard. Life is hard. We just got to choose our hard. And so, yeah, it might be hard, but when we do it God's way, there's some other stuff that we've been talking about that happens when we do it His way. We get to know Him. We get to find out more about Him. We get to watch Him operate and do things that we weren't even expecting. Remember that we talked about Him make your path straight. And so you're walking down and you're doing life the way He wants you to do, and then there's some obstacles in a way, and all of a sudden you see God took care of that obstacle. He moved that out of the way. He fixed that issue. He worked in that person's heart, whatever it might be. And wow, that's how God works. He works that way too. And He works that way. We get to know Him and we get to trust Him. If you want to do it our way, He's going to let us be God. And then we'll have to kind of figure it out on our own. And then that's what usually gets us all messed up. So as believers, we're citizens of heaven. We have a single-minded focus. That's what the seek first is. And the first thing is allowing God to be the authority of our lives. That's what God's kingdom is talking about there. It means to have dominion, which is a big word, but it means to have authority. He gets to tell us what to do. We don't tell Him what to do. And so just a couple questions off of this is, do you have a single-minded focus on letting God rule, letting God have authority over your life and your decisions? Is that a single-minded focus for you? Have you made that commitment? Again, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. None of us are perfect. This is part of the battle, part of the struggle. But in your heart, like, God, I want to do this your way. I want you to have authority. Or do you have a single-minded focus on having you rule in your life? Having you have the authority over your life and your decisions? Go back to the desires of your heart from week one. So that thing that you want God to fix, to do something, the thing that consumes you, that just kind of sits over your heart and your mind. Are you looking to God for counsel? Are you going to His Word to find out whatever that thing is, how does He say to respond to that? Because that's how you find out. And again, you can grab another believer who may have gone through what you're going through and ask them what they did to get through that. You can get a hold of, you know, us in the office and we could talk about it, whatever the case. But are you taking counsel from God or are you taking counsel from yourself or from others? And if I just say this, on the others portion, I've had this happen where I've got something going on, and so then I'll get advice from well-meaning friends and family. Some are believers. But what they're telling me is not what God says. So I have to reject what they're saying. I have to do what God wants me to do. So there's potential times where they're going to be hurt by that. Okay, that's one of the obstacles that hopefully God will work through and change their hearts. I told a story about a couple of my friends, family members, a couple weeks ago about that. So understand, you know, they may not understand. That's all right. You just keep doing it the way God wants you to do it. And let Him worry about them. You stand for what God's called you to do. John Stott, in his book, The Message on the Sermon on the Mount, he says this: there are only two kinds of ambition. One can be ambitious either for oneself or for God. There's no third alternative. There's no negotiating with God. There's no, hey, God, we're going to do it your way this time, but hey, since I did so good on that, let's try it my way this time. It's kind of like when Kim and I were remodeling our house, and when we go into a room, and I'll be like, hey, well, you know, when we did the room this way, we did it the way you wanted to do it, and so next time we do another room, can we do it the way I want to do it? Actually, that's just not even true. Kim gets what she wants. I'm no dummy. I don't cook. I want to eat. See what I'm saying? So, but there's a little play. You know what I'm saying? A little give and take there. But not with God. But there's give and take with Kim and me. So if you seek first God having the authority over your life, then you're going to seek first His righteousness in your life, which is the next thing He says. God's righteousness, that we'd seek first God's righteousness, that we have a single focus on being right in the sense of obeying God. So do you have a single-minded focus on doing what God says? Are you there saying, okay, I know it might be hard. I get what He wants me to do. I know it might be hard, but I just want to be focused on doing that. I want to ask for His strength to do that. Or do you have a single-minded focus on doing what you think? And that, again, that's the challenge. Do you recognize there's a difference? This would be kind of hard for people. I've had this conversation with people where they come in, we're working through a problem that they're having, and we go to, they tell me what they're going to do and what they think they should be doing, and then we go to the Bible, and they're like, oh, I didn't even know. I thought this was the way I was supposed to go. No, actually, God's saying you need to do this. Well, and then they have a choice to make. Are they going to be single-minded and do it God's way, or be single-minded and do it their way? Which then brings us back to God's promise. If we're willing to humbly admit that we're wrong, that God's right, and then obey what He says, that we trust Him, that He's going to do what He says He's going to do to meet our needs. Again, not just for clothing, and not just for food, but our spiritual, emotional, and mental needs. Can we trust Him for that? That's the big question. It takes a step of faith. Because I don't really know. Because doing it His way is so crazy. It makes people feel uncomfortable in some cases. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I mean, if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of difficult. But He says that if we do that, all these things, our needs, will be added to you. Kind of interesting way of saying it. It doesn't say I'll meet your needs. He says all these things, the food, the drink, the clothing, will be added to us. And what He's saying there is, He's already met those needs. Right? Thank the Lord, nobody here is naked. And I'm not. And we're really thanking the Lord for that, right? We all have clothing on. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you guys went to your closet and were like, well, that's the only thing I have to wear today? No, we had to pick through stuff, didn't we? We had to find it, to go through the piles of, man, I got a lot of clothes. It's kind of weird. I had to go through, you know, which t-shirt am I going to wear and which, you know, whatever this is called, am I going to wear? And do I wear these jeans or those jeans? Do I wear those shoes or those shoes? And then I jumped in one of my three trucks. Three! Now, so many people say, Harold, you don't need three. You know what? I'm praying about that. There's some wisdom in not having three trucks. Less work. Less money going out. But I jumped in one of my trucks. It's an old one. It's a 92. And I drove over here. I finally, eventually got heat. By the time I got here. But I had heat on a cold day. But I had a coat on, had my hat on. Before I came, I had breakfast. You know, my wife isn't feeling great. She got up and made me breakfast anyways. That's how awesome she is. I don't mind saying. But even when the refrigerator isn't full, you can still go in there and find something to eat. Where does that come from? God. I didn't give me this job. You don't have the job you have because you did something. That's God alone. And if you don't believe that, that's what I'm saying. Because the Bible would say that everything, every good gift comes from God. And so our jobs, the money that we get from our jobs is actually coming from God. And so He says, I've given you everything you need. And oh, by the way, it'll be added to whatever else you need. Whatever else you need to accomplish, what it is I'm trying to accomplish in your life, it's going to be met. So let me just throw out some thoughts here on this idea of needs. First of all, God meets our needs so we can obey Him, not disobey Him. I think sometimes we get in this where we're praying for something, we're asking God for something, and we're asking and asking and asking and asking, and we don't get the answer. One of the reasons could be is because what we're asking for, He knows that if we get that, we're actually going to use it for ourselves. We're going to build our kingdom, not His kingdom. We're going to use it for our authority and not letting Him have authority over that. It's one of the potentials. And so then when we need to be going to God with that, we need to be asking, hey, God, you know, I've been praying for this, but I don't see this thing happening. You know, why? Getting into His Word, being consumed with Him, getting into His Word, finding out what's He saying. What is it? Maybe I have a wrong perspective on this. Like, for instance, if you're thinking, man, I need God to change my spouse, God tells you, don't worry about your spouse, worry about yourself. I'll worry about your spouse. You do what you're supposed to do despite what your spouse does, and let me worry about your spouse. Because what God's going to do in your spouse is the best thing for you. Again, we don't think that way. That one's hard. I've had that conversation with a lot of people. I just threw that one out there. It's not in my notes. Probably get people upset with me on that one too. But anyways, no, you just do what God's called you to do as a husband or a wife, and then let God work in the other spouse's heart, and the kids and parents. And God is never early. Some people say seldom early. I say never, because I don't know if He's ever been early with something that I've needed. So I'm just coming off. So He's never early. He's never late. He's always on time. I've had people, conversations with people, and I'll be like, well, do you need it right now? No. When do we need it? Oh, I need it day or two, three, you know. All right. Well, so you don't need it now. So let's not worry about now. Let's worry about when you need. I need to make a decision. Now? No. I have like a week. All right. Let's work the process for a week until you need it. Then, you know, you'll be able to make that decision. It kind of goes along with God meets our needs for today, not today for tomorrow. I get it. I want Him to meet my need for tomorrow now. I want to know it's taken care of. That's not how He operates. Because there's a whole different thing going on than what we want. And God will meet tomorrow's needs tomorrow. Again, I don't like that. I want my needs met now. But if my needs are met now, which many of them are, can't I trust Him for tomorrow? Let's just focus on today. What's today's needs? You know what? As far as I can look into the future, I don't know what the future holds. I scared you guys last week when I gave that example, which I'm not going to do. But as I look into tomorrow, I can't see where God hasn't already met my need. As I look at today. Why does He do that? Does He know that kind of just really weighs on us? Can't He just make our lives a little easier? Here's why He's doing that. Because He wants us as close to Him as He can possibly get us. He doesn't want to have us say, I got this. He wants us coming to Him moment by moment. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. It's like me clearing my throat, just constantly praying. Constantly praying. Some people say, well, man, I keep coming to God with this same thing over and over and over. Keep going. It's exactly what He wants. I know, again, it sounds kind of weird. Like, if somebody were to do that to me, coming to me all the time with stuff, I'd probably be like, oh, my word. Just, not God. He wants us to keep coming to Him. Keep coming to Him. Keep asking. He wants us as close to Him as possible. Why? Because that's the safest and most satisfying place for us to be. Because that means if I'm with Him now, today, He's got tomorrow. And that's a safe place to be. That's a satisfying place to be. If we can get ourselves to the point where I'm not even going to worry about tomorrow. And like I said before, spiritual maturity is greater and greater dependence on God. If you're evaluating, am I growing spiritually? Ask yourself, am I more and more dependent on God each moment of the day? Praying about the little things, praying about the big things. That's spiritual maturity. So the takeaway is pretty obvious. Have a single-minded focus on allowing God to have authority over your life and in your life as you obey. And his promises, he's going to meet your needs today. Go ahead and stand. Close in prayer. Heavenly Father, these are good words to hear. Not necessarily easy all the time, because again, we want so badly to just make sure we don't have any concerns about the future. But Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us in our hearts and our minds to understand what it is that you're trying to do and be okay with that. And then to take that step of faith to live this way and to watch you work. To not get worked up about tomorrow, but to stay focused on today. Obviously, we have to plan, but planning is one thing, worrying is another. But help us to stay focused on you, allowing you to have authority in our lives, allowing you to have authority in our lives so we obey you, and then watching you meet the needs that you've promised to do that. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day. Enjoy the warmth, because tomorrow is going to get a little cold.